Let's stand. I want to teach this morning. I want to get right to it. Amen. Hebrews 12 and 1. Very familiar passage of scriptures. And Lord, have mercy. I can't believe you can get anything else out of it. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses all around us, let us lay aside every weight. This is how they're still standing. Let us do what they did. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you. It takes you out of the race, gets you out of stride. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. I want to teach, stay in the cloud. Stay in the cloud. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. But be careful, lay aside every weight, and get rid of the sin that so easily besets you so you can stay in the cloud. God, open up our minds and our hearts today as we explore your word. For truly, every time you read your word, it is a new day and a new beginning. David said in one chapter that your mercies are fresh every morning. Glory to God. Thank God for the freshness of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to try this board again here. I like this old-timey board. Amen. If we had chalk, I'd use chalk this morning. From this previous chapter, the writer of Hebrews lays out this cloud of witnesses. He tells us a number of examples of men and women that took a stand to live for God. He tells us ones that finished the race. We don't read about the ones that didn't finish the race. You ever looked at the Boston Marathon? You look to see who finished the race. They don't post who didn't finish the race. And so this writer goes back and he picks a few names. He says, it would fail me of time to tell you of all of them, but I'm going to pick a few names just to give you some examples of people that finished the race. And it's not a small cloud. It's a great cloud of witnesses. Let me tell you, you get two or three witnesses, you've got something that is founded, but you get a great cloud of witnesses like we have here. I want to be in good company. How about you? I want to be, he said, we are compassed about. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You're in the cloud this morning, but don't let sin and don't let these weights and things slow you down that you don't finish the race. So we find our very first heroes, we call them, of faith is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And it said, by faith Abel offered, by faith he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. See, this is our first witness that he was righteous. He was right in what he did. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. He's still alive, so to speak. His voice, the pulse. Back to that, still going. And so what we find is that Abel, by faith, he worshiped. By faith, Brother Abel worshiped God. The first witness worshiped. He offered praises and sacrifices to a God he could not see. What good? Faith is not faith, he said. Paul said, if you see it. Hope is not hope if you see what you hope for. It's no longer hope, he said. It destroys. What you see destroys faith. Once you see it, faith is gone. And so Abel is now offering a sacrifice, and he's worshiping by faith. He worshiped a God that he could not see. And that's why idolatry so quickly took over the Israelites, because men want to worship what they can see. It's hard to worship something you can't see. You can't feel. You can't touch. How do you continually? And here's Brother Abel offering up a sacrifice, and smoke goes up and blood was shed. And there's a God. There must be a God somewhere. I don't know where he's at, but by faith, there's got to be a God somewhere. And so he's offering to a God he can't see. That takes faith, my brothers and sisters. He offered worship to God. By faith he offered this. But men have a tendency to want to have an idol to worship. And so the Bible talks about the graven images. These are ones that were carved. Another place it calls it carved images. They would whittle out a statue, a mandrake or something that they could set up and behold our God, you know. The sun god, the moon god, and all these kind of gods. Our God's all those gods. That's what, but I can't see. And then it had the molden images. This is where you would make a mold and you'd pour gold or silver into it. So they had graven images and molden images, man-made into four-footed or beast or other images, and corrupted the image of our God. Moses followed him who was what? Invisible. So when God made man, now watch real close. When God made man, he made him how? In his image, in his mold. When God made man, he made Adam in his mold. Okay? See, Adam and man, all mankind, is made in the image of God. But you must understand that Jesus was the image of God. Did y'all catch that? Man was made in the image of God. He was made like Christ. But Christ was the image of God. I've got proving scriptures here. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 9:6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God man was made. But yet Hebrews tells us, this chapter here in verse 1 and 3, this writer has a really good understanding of the deity of God, who being the brightness of his glory, speaking of Christ, the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. See, Christ was the image of God, whereas man is in the image of God. That's shouting material. And upholding all things by the word of his power, and he had by himself purged our sins. By himself, he didn't need your help. He didn't need angels' help. Nobody cheered him on. He purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Then in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. No wonder, my brothers and sisters, when the Jews came to Jesus and said, we are of Abraham's seed. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Before Adam was, I am. Because he was the image of God. Everybody else is in the image of God. But Jesus was the image of God. The firstborn of every creature. Oh, are you hearing me this morning? So when God made Adam, he made him in his image. And we find that Christ is the only true image of God. And Brother Abel, our witness, our first witness in the cloud, he worshiped a God that he could not see. And he had a good report. The Bible says, good job, you're a righteous man. But listen to me this morning. He didn't receive the promise. He died not having received the promise. For, in fact, the writer of Hebrews said they all died not having received the promise. They just died in faith. Let me tell you something. I'd rather die believing than not believing. So our next one, we have, I'm showing you ways that by faith they did these things. By faith they worshiped, but they didn't receive the promise. Then we bring up our next witness, Brother Enoch, in 11 and 5, Hebrews. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, for he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. We know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We go back to Genesis. I went back because I want to see what happened to old brother Enoch. And it talks about his generations and his children. But then it gets to verse 24 in chapter 5 of Genesis. And Enoch walked by faith, he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He had a good report, brothers and sisters. Now, let's walk. How are you today, Jesus? How are you today, God? Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. How's everything going up there in heaven? Doing good? Well, don't send no more of them devils down here. We got enough of them. What's that, God? And he walked with a God he couldn't see. He talked every day. Well, God, I'm so glad I got up this morning. How was your day in heaven? Well, I know you don't ever sleep, but Lord, I was tired last night. Thank you for giving me some good rest last night. That's what he did. He just walked with God. He got so close to a God he couldn't see, he said, hey, why don't you just come on home with me and be like me? And he translated him so that he would not see death as other men did. How about that? Now, I'm telling you, that's walking with God. But guess what? He didn't get the promise. Got a good report. No promise. So we find that Brother Enoch, the Bible says that steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And every day the Lord was ordering his steps and he was taking those steps. He got so close to God that God just said, come on home with me. Now, I'm telling you, that is walking with God. We often say the just shall walk by faith. Hey, brother, he was walking. I don't know how long you can talk to somebody that's not there, but brother, he did it so much, God just took him. And I talk to God. I don't know about you. I hope you do. I mean, sometimes I get a little quieter when other people come around, but we walk. God and I walk. But walking does not get the promise. I want you to understand, worshiping did not get the promise. It was good reports, but it didn't get the promise. So we find that Abel worshiped and Enoch walked with God, but neither one of them got the promise. So we come on down. Now, the next hero that he brings us is that of Noah. Hebrews 11 and 7. By faith, boy, I could spend the time on Noah, but I'll try to work on it a little bit. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah, he worked. Yep, you got faith? Show me your works. So Brother Noah was a worked. This is the first place, my brothers and sisters, where we find that I can think of where we find work or faith and fear together. I kind of was always believing that faith and fear are enemies of each other. But I want to tell you, they're not. Somehow we believe that if we have fear, we have no faith. He had fear and faith. Noah had faith in God, but fear of what was to come. Why? Because I'm not ready. I'm not ready. If it happens like God says it's going, I'm not ready. And so he had so much faith in what God said that he moved with fear. His faith didn't move him, my brothers and sisters. His fear did. Fear will make you run. Fear will make you do lots of things. People jump off buildings for fear. Right? Fear makes you move. I realize it can paralyze you too. But faith is not what made him move. He moved with fear to the preparing of an ark. He went to work. By faith, Noah worked and build an ark because he feared the things that would come and he was not prepared. Noah being pre-warned of things to come. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, pre-warned means ought to be pre-armed. If somebody warns you, then you ought to get ready.
And he was moving with fear. He had so much faith in what God said. Lord, my God, if that happens, I'm not going to be ready. So he went to work. And so by faith, Noah worked. He worked. And he condemned the world. How did he condemn the world? He condemned the world because they started drowning while he started floating? No. I'm going to tell you how he condemned the world. Because God only spoke to him and not to them. And it condemned them because God didn't speak to them. He only spoke to him. Why? Because he was a righteous man. He was a perfect man. He was a just man in his generation. And he condemned the world the way they lived because God, when he got ready to say, this is coming, he only spoke to him. And it condemned the world. Even Christ said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but the things I say will. So we look at Genesis 6 and 6, and it repented the Lord that he hath made man on earth and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah did what Enoch did. And he also did what Abel did. He sacrificed, he worshiped, he's walking, he sees things building. And for 120 years, he was preparing the ark, and God was patient with him. 1 Peter 3 and 20 says, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. That lets me know he would have rained it down quicker. I'm telling you, the Lord would come quicker. It's only because some people aren't ready, he's not coming. But when the time is full, he's coming. While the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. So what we see is God was patient with him while he worked. While he worked, and by faith, he worked on this building. And it looked like for 120 years, Lord, can you imagine the faith that it takes to finish an ark 120? I get tired of working on something 2 or 3 days. 120 years. That takes some faith. And it had never rained like that before. It never flooded like that before. But by faith, he believed it. And by fear, he moved in his faith. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God is waiting on you. He's long suffering with you, waiting for you to get right. So Noah knew what would happen to the world. And he knew because he was a just man. And the world did not know what Noah knew. And let me tell you, the world today does not know what you know about the end of the world. The Bible says in Matthew, I'll just quickly paraphrase this, that as it was in the days of the Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days of the Noah, before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark and knew not. See, this is what condemned the world. They knew not. They knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Two shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other one left. What that tells me, one shall know and one shall not know. Two shall be in the bed. One shall be taken and one will be left. One will know and the other one will not know. He said, for know this, he goes on to say, for know this, if you would have known the hour that the man was coming to destroy the house, you would have not suffered your house to be destroyed. Noah, being pre-warned of things to come, said, get ready, get ready, get ready. And by faith, he believed that and moved and worked to be ready for that day. I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming. You better get ready. He's coming. So we find that by faith, Abel worshiped. Enoch walked. Noah worked. All had good report, no promise. And then we get to Brother Abraham, the father of faith. Hebrews 11 and 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. He wondered. He wondered. He went out not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned. Stayed here a little while, stayed there a little while. In a land of promise, as in a strange country. You have to understand, he was in the land of promise when he was sojourning, but it was a strange country to him. See, the Lord would bring him back, his people back. Dwelling in tabernacles or tents with his two boys, Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You know, when I had kids, I wanted to settle down. You know, we had children. We wanted a slab. I'd been in a trailer long enough. I wanted a slab. Nothing wrong with a trailer. I started out in a trailer. Fine. But after a while, I wanted a slab. And so did this man. For he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He wanted something that had a slab. He wanted something that was permanent. I'm tired of picking it up. See, a trailer got wheels. Yeah. Slab doesn't. This thing's on concrete. You can't see it, but it is. You can't just pick it up and move. And he said, I'm looking for a place. I'm going to move here. This ain't it. I'm going to move over here. This isn't it. I'm looking for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of wandering. I'm tired of going. Just by faith, I'm going to do this. But I'm looking for a city. Have you seen that city? So by faith, he wondered. It doesn't mean he was lost. No, it doesn't mean he was like, where am I at? It means I haven't found it yet. I haven't found it yet. And he continually moved looking for this permanent dwelling place. He walked out by faith. He walked out his faith. Amen. And so we find that he wondered. We can go on down, and I won't take time to go through some more of these, but what you'll find is they continually wondered. From Abraham, Moses, what did he do? Wandered around in the wilderness. They wondered. So we find that Abel worshiped, Enoch walked, Noah worked, Abraham wandered, and they all got a good report, but no promise. But no promise. Until we get to David. And David was the first one to give the ark a slab. David built a temple for the Lord. And they moved it into Solomon's temple, right? Solomon actually built the temple. David got the stuff to build it, most of it. And so they finally moved it out of a tent and said, right here is its permanent dwelling place. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. It's like, oh, I'm staying now. Woo, I'm staying now. They quit moving me around. Y'all live in houses, but you move me around. I want a house too. And so David figured that God, if he had a good cedar house, God ought to deserve a stone one. And so they made a temple to put God in. And so he gave the Ark of the Covenant the first foundation. Right? But, verse 32, and what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Japheth and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. Enoch didn't do that. Abel didn't do that. Noah didn't do that. Subdued, let's read some more. Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. You know what they did? I guess ward has two R's in it, doesn't it? Okay. They ward. Because anytime you've got something that's permanent, you've got to defend it. That temple was in the city of David, Mount Zion, the holy city of God. And now we got to defend it. So he spent all of his time warring and defending, fighting, just like I do. I got to try to grow my little fruit trees, and I'm warring and I'm fighting and neighbors and poachers and because I got a permanent place. Now, if it's not permanent, I'll just see y'all later. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go here. But once you get something permanent, once you decide to live for God, you're going to take faith. I mean, they warred by faith. God, shall I go or should I stay? Surely thou shalt recover all. They warred by faith. Wow. Subduing all these kingdoms. And you know, David fought for what he believed. And David took lordship over the kingdom. You see, David was a man after God's own heart because he would defend what he believed in. He would defend, just like Jesus made a whip and run him out of the temple. He defended what he believed in. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And when you become lord over anything, you become the ruler over it, right? Landlord kick you out, yeah. Psalms 110 and 1, the Lord said unto my Lord. See, David was a lord. Why? He had a permanent place, and he became the lord over that place. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send thee the rod, the strength of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Woo, hallelujah. So David warred. Abel worshipped. Enoch walked. Noah worked. Abraham, Moses, and all those, they wondered until they finally got a dwelling place. And then they warred. And all of this was by faith. But my brothers and sisters, not a one of them received the real promise that God wanted to bring to man. No, not a one of them. If worship could have gotten it, Abel would have got it. If walking with God would have got it, Enoch would have got it. Working, Noah would have got it. Wandering, Abraham sure would have got it. And David, he would have got the promise. But none of them got it. Back to Hebrews 11 and 39. And all these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing. How many of y'all like better things? I like better things. Yeah. I don't care what kind of clunker you got this morning that got you here. Better than walking. See, the problem is, how they say it, good is the enemy of best or something like that. It's like, you know, something better, you that's not good enough anymore. You won't, it keeps going. And God had something better. Boy, I'm glad. Because, you know, I really don't want to offer animal sacrifices. I really don't. I don't know if I want to walk like Enoch walked all the time and not feel anything and really know anything. I don't want to build an ark for 120 years. I don't want to wander around, you know, looking for something I'm never going to find. And I certainly don't want a war. I'm glad he's got something better for me. Whew, I'm glad I'm born. You ought to just be glad you're born in the time you were born and in the place you're born, the country you were born. You may not like everything that goes on around here, but you ought to be glad you're where you're at. Okay, so some better thing. This is going to get good. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. See, without the promise, you can't be perfect. That's what he's telling us. Without the promise, you can't be made perfect. Or they would have been perfect. But they looked but never found. But they died in faith, had a good report. So I'm so glad that I don't have to do what they did. So back to my text scripture, Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with, and that word got my attention, patience, the race that set. Every one of them had that. Every one of them had patience. Patience to keep on worshiping. No matter what Cain was going to do, I'll die for what I worship. Right? I'm going to die for a God I don't even see. He kept on walking. He kept on working. Kept on wondering. Kept on worrying. And here we are, got it made, y'all. Well, I don't know if I can live for God. You know, I don't want to look different. I don't want to act different than the rest of the world. Come on. Come on. Come on. Provided some better thing for us that without us, they could not be made perfect. Looking, verse 2, unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. Oh, Lord, I'm on to something here. I might have lost y'all in the study. But you see, he wasn't the author and finisher of their faith. He was the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to the beginning and the ending of my faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down, S-E-T, down at the right hand of the throne of majesty. Yeah, with patience, we got to run this race. You and I, my brothers and sisters, waited. I don't know how much longer I can wait. I just don't know how much longer I can wait. If God don't answer me real quick, then I just don't know how much longer I can wait. I hope I'm putting everybody in their shell. You're not worshiping like him. You're not walking like him. You're not working like him. You're not wondering. You're not worrying. All you got to do is wait. Let me show you. Run with patience. He didn't say run with sacrifice. He didn't say build you an ark. He didn't say do anything. He said run with patience. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. And being assembled together, Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith has been born. He has died. Here comes the promise. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. But wait. You ever told somebody, but wait. Yeah. Wait, but I'm just going, but wait. But wait. Wait. See, how much easier can it be than just waiting? They waited for the promise. My Lord, wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, but ye shall receive power after that you receive the Holy Ghost, which has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Stay in the cloud. Stay in the cloud. You become with this cloud of witnesses. Unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. All the rest of the witnesses had to do these things that I have on the board other than waiting. They could wait, but it wasn't going to work. They worshiped, but they waited, and but they didn't receive anything but a good report. So somehow we need to understand that if you'll live a righteous life and have a good report, then all you have to do is wait. Wait. Everybody that I have ever known that ever got the Holy Ghost was waiting on it. You're not going to tell me. I was just out one day and I just got the Holy Ghost and didn't even know what it was. No, you were waiting on it. Well, I'm not talking about this tarrying. I'm talking about you do what you're supposed to do, the good report. All of these, good report, no promise. But those that listen to Christ after, all of those before could never, Brother N. Bowden, receive the promise because Christ hasn't come. But once Christ had come, died and rose again, he became the author and the finisher of our faith. Theirs was left open-ended, but we have finished our faith in Christ. Wow. Hebrews 10 and 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, and we could read that for time's sake, I won't. If you want to stay in the cloud, very simple, my brothers and sisters, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you and run this race with patience. He said, after you've done the will of God, you have need of patience. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It didn't say they that sacrifice, they that build an ark, see, all of these things can't get you the promise, is what I'm trying to tell you. Not that you don't need a good report. Yes, you need to. God has waited. The good report is I've repented. That's the good report. And once you have fully repented, my brothers and sisters, it's a matter of waiting till it comes to you. And so this morning I close because I'm out of time. That's the only reason I'm closing, because I'm out of time. I'm like Christ. I got many things I could tell you, but not enough time to tell you in. But I hope I helped you this morning. Even if you give your body to be burned, you can give your checking account to the church. You can walk around the church 10 times backwards. You can do, whatever you want to do. Leap for Christ, whatever it is you want to do. None of those things will bring you the promise. Waiting will. How much easier can it be? A better thing for us. Than doing what they did. I just simply need to repent, put it looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. What I want to worship and do all the walk with and all these things is Christ, the one that was made manifest so that he did walk on earth. You could walk with him. You could touch him. You could see him. See, he became the expressed image of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord, and I'll get out of your way. Thank the Lord. Amen. God bless you. All the promises of God come to those who will wait for him to answer. If you're in a hurry to get an answer from God, he says, look, I'm not going to be pushed. If you wait on the Lord, he'll answer your prayers in due season. Amen. God bless you. Take a quick break, and we'll come back for morning worship.